Welcome everyone to Mike and Amit Talk Tech in 2024. It's a new year and plenty of new things to talk about. We're going to mix it up a little bit this year. In some of our episodes, we're going to focus on the newest and greatest things that are happening at that time, which is what today's episode is about. And in other episodes, we're going to dive into particular topics as we've done in the past. But let's jump in, Amit, to talk about one of the gotta be coolest new innovations in 2024, and that is Sora from OpenAI. What can you tell us about that?
Hello, Mike. Great to be back. So most of you who are listening to this probably know this. They've already seen the demo, but OpenAI launched a new service, a new tool, a new technology, which they call Sora, right? They haven't really completely openly launched it to everyone. It is kind of in beta. It's kind of in limited release. However, the demos are nothing short of mind-blowing. So what does it do? And again, most of you have already seen it. From a short sentence or a short paragraph, it can create 2, 3, 5 minute long HD quality videos on pretty much any topic under the sun. So the demos that they had was a sentence that said, a fashionable woman walking at night through the streets of Tokyo, and boom, you've got a video, I think it's a couple of minutes long, HD quality, of a lady walking through Shibuya in Tokyo or something like that. And then they have California in the gold rush, and then they've got more elaborate ones saying a drone shot of the coast of California with Big Sur and so on and so forth. It is just amazing. However, like everything else, let us understand, a demo is not a product release. They've got a demo right now. We have not yet seen the product. Right, Mike?
And we don't know if it's actually going to work the way it looks like it's going to work. I have not had a chance to play with it. As you said, super cool and could be a game changer, right? It could be a game changer for media and entertainment. And I think there's some really good things about this. And I think there's some really potentially awful things about this. But if we look at it, you know, from the timeline, right? You know, going back, at one time, only professional studios could make videos, right? It was really only studios that could make feature films. The quality tended to be relatively high, but it was the domain of the professionals. Then we got to the stage where, you know, a few wealthy and specialized people with advanced hardware and software could create their own video content, right? We got independent films and shorts, you know, quality medium, I would say, some high, some medium, some low. And then we kind of got to the world where anybody could create video with common technology. We had handheld cameras. I guess many of us had those. And eventually smartphones, right? So we had the hardware to create videos, but the video editing software still remained expensive and hard to use. And so the quality tended to be pretty low. Has anybody seen, you know, like a home videos? And then we got to the kind of the TikTok stage, right, where anybody can create short videos, and the editing tools became extremely easy to use. You know, it's very easy to edit the videos. Anybody could do it. You could add music to your videos. But again, the quality was extremely mixed. But now with Sora, we've got to the point where you don't actually need video content to create videos. All you need is a text prompt. And that is a game changer.
It really is. It's a game changer, Mike, like you said, both in the positive and negative direction. And right off the bat, we should make it clear to our listeners, even before launch, they have said that they're going to block or they're going to ban political videos from being made on this particular service. Plus, you know, even in the demos, you can already see a few mistakes. The physics is not always there, you know, things going through walls, those kinds of things. Nonetheless, you're absolutely right. What this can do from a few sentences, at least in the demo, is nothing like any of us have ever seen. And I mean, the moment this hits a launch stage, the moment it hits the hands of thousands and millions of us, I can only imagine the amazing content that's going to come out of it, right? I mean, just for our applications, Mike, we can think about within seconds or within minutes, creating short introductory videos to our programs, explanatory videos for our students, you know, customizing stuff so that people truly, truly get personalized education just in a few sentences, right? That's how easy it's going to be. And people could potentially see Mike Wade explaining, and not just a robotic voice explaining something that Mike Wade was really good at. So this is a true game changer. Of course, we need to also speak about the negatives, right? I mean, I'm sure on the flip side of this, all kinds of crazy people are just itching to get their hands on it to do all kinds of mischievous stuff, huh?
Oh, for sure. So we can't deny the positive, massive boost in creativity. You know, suddenly anybody can be a movie director, a music video director. I mean, this is TikTok on steroids. It's a great leveler, giving everybody access to video creation. I mean, this is going to be fantastic for all the creative people out there. They have another medium to work with. As you said, it could transform areas like education in positive ways. But there are some potentially really, scary, awful implications to this. All kinds of copyright issues could come up in this. Absolutely, huge, objectionable videos. As you said, political videos is one thing, but, imagine the usage for porn. I mean, it's going to be massive, and it's going to be a battle between the, OpenAI, I guess, in this case, and other content. And then the content producers to try and who can get ahead, violence, crime, deep fakes. I mean, all this is going to proliferate. I think there's going to be a huge amount of video spam. If it's this easy to create a video, there's going to be videos everywhere. It's going to be so much crap, so much noise before you can find a decent signal. There's the question about job losses. I actually am not convinced that this is going to lead to massive job losses. I actually think it's going to lead to job gains. I think with more people having access to these tools, it's actually going to attract more people into this sector. So I'm not so negative as many people, but there's one thing I want to talk about that hasn't been mentioned very much, at least I haven't seen it, and that's the environmental impact. I mean, there's an environmental impact of these tools, right? We know that. I mean, text is not too bad, apparently, but images and audio, wow, it's using a lot of power, a lot of processing power. I mean, all these videos have got to be produced. They've got to be stored somewhere, Amit. Where are these data centers going to be? They're going to store these HD quality videos. The environmental impact is going to be massive.
First of all, also agree with you. I'm also of the opinion that I'm not seeing massive job losses and, lines outside soup kitchens as a consequence of this. I think this is actually going to make us more productive, make us more creative, democratize a lot of these tools that previously, quote unquote, only the legit people had, right? At the environmental impact is going to be massive. Now, I know that most of the big tech companies are relatively conscientious about this. They're racing to install green energy, but nowhere fast enough. I think the speed with which the energy demands for these tools is ramping up, I think it's caught everyone off guard. Consequently, I think I read somewhere that just this year, just the H100 chips from NVIDIA, which is just one type of chips that they produce, right? Just those chips are going to consume more energy than several nations. And this is notwithstanding the other parts of the data center and the cooling and the carbon emission and all the other negatives that go into this. So we will need to figure this out extremely, extremely quickly, because what it's going to end up doing, at least in the short run, is it's going to add more debit to our carbon balances without giving us any credit on that side, Yeah, I think the race is on.
The race is definitely on. There's a lot of questions here, including how much is this going to cost? You know, is OpenAI going to bundle this in with their ChatGPT-4 subscription? I doubt it. I mean, because it's going to cost them a lot too. So I think this is going to be an additional subscription layer. Google's going to be on their heels, fast on their heels. Right, you got to get Meta, which understands video very well, is going to be also getting into the game. Maybe you'll see some of the open source players like Mistral getting into the game. So it's coming. It's coming. There's no doubt about it.
If I'm advising OpenAI right now, I'll tell them to use the freemium model, give everybody 3 free videos a month or something like that, get them hooked, and then charge them for everything beyond that to create and to store. I would do a separate subscription for this. I would not bundle this into the standard ChatGPT $20 a month subscription, because I think these two are distinct services. They truly are very distinct services, and you might even have completely different audiences going for one versus the other and going for both.
Yeah, and imagine the resources they're going to have to use to monitor these videos, right? To make sure you don't have something that goes out which is seen as a hate crime or is pornographic or violent or whatever. It's gonna be a lot of resources necessary to make sure that the people using these tools and these tools themselves are behaving correctly. Which kind of leads us to another story that's been around in the last couple of weeks, and that is Gemini. The last time we spoke, Amit, Gemini was a pipe dream, right? It was a plan. It was an apple in the eye of Google, but it hadn't been released. But it's been released now. Multimodal, that's the promise. Multimodal meaning it's not just text, but it's, you know, images and audio and whatever else, perhaps video. But it hasn't gone quite according to plan, has it?
No, it's really come full circle extremely fast, right? So a cycle that a lot of software or companies might go through in the stage of years, these folks seem to have gone through in just a few months. So they had not launched the last time we spoke. They launched it with much fanfare, fancy video, which was quite cool. It started off, and then lo and behold, it suddenly became woke. I mean, it started, you asked it to create a picture of three popes sitting together. It gave you female and African-American popes, you know, just wrong. I mean, and the same thing, you asked it to create a picture of, you know, people signing the Declaration of Independence in the United States. And again, purposefully gave you women and people of color and Asians. So just under the guise of removing bias, perhaps, the pendulum had swung way far in the other direction, and it started twisting history. Historical facts that we know are a certain way were not being represented. And of course, like everything else these days, the backlash was violent and immediate, right? I mean, Google is purposely going woke. This is all a plot. The liberals are in charge. I think what a lot of people need to understand is how these models work, right? I mean, it's not like somebody's sitting behind the scenes controlling these models on a one-to-one basis. These models simply work on incentives. So if you give the model more incentives to be more diverse, it is going to force diversity even in situations where we think it's not correct or it's not historically accurate. That's all that's happening. It's just a question of an incorrect specification of the model. But the outcome was indeed extremely bizarre and, of course, has blown up the internet.
It has, right? So Google's been erring on the side of caution. But by doing so, creating images that are just factually incorrect. Now, there's nothing wrong, in my mind, with a female pope or an African-American pope. I mean, that's fine. It just hasn't happened. It's just not factually correct. So when, you know, you want an image of, you know, a group of Vikings from the 9th century, you expect it to look in a certain way. And when it looks something very, very different than that, you realize that this is not right. So in an attempt to be sensitive, which is good, and make sure to promote diversity and inclusion and not whitewash history, okay, we get that, but they've taken it too far. Kind of embarrassing, right? I mean, didn't look good. A bunch of the leaders of DeepMind and also the CEO of Alphabet, Sundar Pichai, came out publicly saying this is completely unacceptable. And they actually had to take it down. It doesn't work. I mean, right now as we speak, Amit, you and I cannot use Gemini for image generation.
And didn't Google's market cap or Alphabet's market cap drop by like 4 or 5 billion as a consequence of this directly? I mean, this has a real impact.
4%, which is $90 billion. I mean, that's you know, bigger than many, many large public companies. Dropped in a single day because of this.
That is insane. That is so. So the backlash truly has been vicious. And look, I mean, quite honestly, let's be fair. An organization like Google, this is not cool. This is not expected from you. The only positive we can say is that you did not do it in the product that's your core bread and butter moneymaker, which is search. but you did it in, you know, what for now at least is a relatively niche product for these folks.
So I think they're going to have to fix this. I think there's two things that were happening, and both were causing problems. The one thing we hear most about is the sort of the revisionist history, right? Biasing, taking a bias that's in the public data, which is, you know, a bias that we don't want. We don't want that. We want to remove that bias. But by doing that, you know, going the pendulum swinging the other direction and making an additional bias. The other thing that it was doing, it was just being super cautious. So anything that had even the whiff of being potentially controversial, it would refuse to answer. And also that got a bit ridiculous. So I think there's those two things. Now it's not back to the drawing board, but it's back to training the data. As you said, these models are just going to produce what you ask them to produce, right? So just training the model to be, you know, a little bit less biased.
And I think for organizations, I think this is a lesson indirectly, right? I mean, out of the box, most of these tools are probably not directly going to be applicable in most of the organizations our listeners are in. You will need to tweak them somewhere or the other. You'll need to modify them. However, these tweaks or modifications are probably not going to be super straightforward, super simple. There'll be some trial and error before you learn to do this. There'll be some goof-ups, but eventually we'll get there, I think. I think we remain positive that these tools will indeed, kind of like Sora, really, really help organizations move forward.
And I think this could be a subject of another one of our Mike and Amit Talk Tech podcasts. You know, what your options as an organization run from, you just accept the public foundation model as it is on the one extreme. The other extreme, you build it yourself. But there's a bunch of options in the middle. And I think it's interesting for organizations to explore what those models are, what the trade-offs are for going one way or the other. All right, let's leave that where it is and close the session for today. There's plenty more to talk about, but we'll do it in a separate episode. Amit, any final comments from you?
So we will try and bring you updates in the world of AI and specifically generative AI every few months because that's how quickly this field is moving. This was our first update for the year. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you very much for tuning in to Mike and Amit Talk Tech. Please do come back for our next episode. In the meanwhile, for more information, please visit imd.org.